Jeremiah is one of the great prophets of Hebrew scripture. His long prophetic career in Judah in the 6th century BCE saw both personal and societal struggles as the tradition slipped toward idolatry. Ultimately, Jerusalem and the temple were violently taken by the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah predicted both this traumatic event for his people and their ultimate restoration. In today's Song of Hope, Jeremiah looks to the promise that God's people will be led out of exile and back to the land of their ancestors. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Let's say together Psalm 84, found in your bulletin. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
And those
who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hearken, O God of Jacob. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed.
Second reading is from the book of Ephesians. A letter that tradition holds was addressed to the church in Ephesus and attributed to Paul was likely meant to be circulated widely among a number of early Christian communities.
You're taller than the rest of us.
Thank you. In it, the author calls for the unity of Christian community and offers practical advice for leading a faithful life in the first century. In today's passage, we hear of the blessing of God's love and the spiritual gifts given to us through the gracious gift of Christ Jesus, a gift we remember especially during Christmastide. A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. There was an elevator yesterday during a hospital visit, and somebody said, Happy New Year. And another person on the elevator said, I'm just saying New Year these days. On the one hand, it was a funny joke. On the other hand, given the news of the past week, it made some sense. And as we're at the second Sunday of Christmas and we hear this very familiar story about the coming of the wise men, I wanted to share with you a little bit of art today. Some of you will probably recognize it. This is early Da Vinci. And I was inspired to share this today because over Christmas break, I started watching Ken Burns' new documentary about Leonardo da Vinci, which I highly commend to you. It is a wonderful insight into the great artist's development. The story behind this painting is instructive. It was commissioned around 1480 by an Augustinian monastery in Florence, where Da Vinci was getting his start, and they wanted a depiction of the Adoration of the Magi. Now, they imagined the typical depiction of the late medieval period, which is Jesus and the Madonna, which you see central here in the painting, surrounded by the wise men, perhaps some animals, perhaps Joseph, and adoring shepherds, all of them focused on one person, and that, of course, is the Christ child. Now, Leonardo, being Leonardo, was going to do his own thing. And he had taken on all of the advances that had been happening in art in the early Renaissance, particularly the obsession with classical, realist human forms. But more than that, he was absolutely determined in his work to portray the mind of his subjects. Think about how audacious a goal that was. It's one thing to draw a human form, it is another thing to try to capture their state of mind. And so he had spent countless hours observing people on one of the piazzas in Florence, watching them in various poses and moods, and his sketchbooks are full of these figures. The other thing that Da Vinci did is he took the New Testament texts. We don't think he was a particularly devout man, but he was very concerned about his subject. He took the New Testament texts, which had been recently translated into Italian, and he pored over them in preparation for his work. And I think he picked up something that's critically important, not only for his time, but for ours as well. This depiction of the Adoration of the Magi definitely does have the Madonna and Child. You see them central here in this detailed picture at the center. But around them are dozens of figures doing various things. In fact, in the background, there's a whole battle scene going on. And all of the figures are in some state of reaction to what is happening, to the coming of Christ, perhaps. And even the wise men themselves are depicted in various poses. You don't see one of them who's bowed down with his forehead almost on the ground to your left of the Madonna and Child, and this other one here who is offering, perhaps, the frankincense or the myrrh to the Christ child. This was such a radical departure that the Augustinian monks were having none of it. And they basically told Leonardo to take his work and take a hike, as far as they were concerned. Leonardo never finished the painting. Instead, he pursued more prosperous ventures with the Duke of Milan. But this was a study piece for him, and it would inspire his more famous work later that he would complete in Milan, and that, of course, is The Last Supper. It helped to have a really harsh duke telling him he would complete his contract. Right? But the message that I think Leonardo wants us to understand is the same message that Matthew gives us in today's gospel reading. The backdrop for the coming of the wise men is not a happy time. Herod the Great, who is a bit of an imposter king and a paranoid fellow to boot, was no one's best friend. In fact, he was known to have his own family members killed if they got in his way and his aspirations to power. So he was well known in the ancient world for being a horrible person and also a very dangerous person. And when the wise men come to Jerusalem and say, we're following a star because we're looking for the newborn king of the Jews, well, for Herod, he was king of the Jews. So what were they talking about? And so if Herod is frightened, the whole of the city is frightened, and political stability is threatened. And so Herod hatches a plan, and some of you who are familiar with the passages that come adjacent to this one, you know that part of Herod's plan ultimately results in the killing of young children in Bethlehem, the holy innocents, whom we remember this time of year. It's all by way of imparting to us that Christ does not come when things are beautiful and rosy and comfortable at home. Christ comes when the world is a very dark place and a very violent place, a place that is filled with dangers and fears. And it is in that dread that God is incarnate, as a bringer of peace and hope and light, something new. If you look at Leonardo's depiction, the most peaceful figures in the painting are Mary and her child. Mary's faith and her gaze upon her child, of course, it is a beautiful capturing of the mind of love, isn't it? And Jesus is reaching out to touch the gifts of this Gentile who comes, we're not sure from where, who recognizes him before any other earthly power does. It's too bad the Augustinian monks didn't get it, isn't it? This work ended up in a gallery, and a few artists came along and tried to finish it on Leonardo's behalf. It didn't do a very good job of it, but we have it as a study nonetheless, and as a reminder. A reminder that, like all the figures in this painting, we are in various states of reaction to the coming of Christ, to the coming of God in our midst. And that we are called to be in a reactive world, bearing the Christ child in our hearts. That may not sound very encouraging in times when the headlines are dark, but here's the Christmas message. You are the encouragement. You, as you bear Christ, are the good news for a world that needs it so desperately. And as we wrap up Christmas and prepare for the Epiphany, and you'll have opportunity if you want this year to mark your doors, we are being prepared to bear that light, whatever this year may bring. There have been years like this before. There will probably be years like this again. But God is with us, as the ancient prophet reminded us, when he called this son born to us, Emmanuel, God with us.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.